Oh, happy days. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to James chapter 1, please. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all, what? Joy. Not miserable, joy. When you fall into various trials, not if. Welcome to the earth. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, which is also known as endurance. Everyone say endurance. So you got to be able to endure storms. You got to be able to endure trials. You got to be able to endure temptations. You got to be able to endure disappointments. You got to be able to endure rejections. Why? Because you don't belong here. It's not your home anymore. You don't have to deal with all this crap. But let patience or endurance have its what? Have its perfect work. Knowing that the and if you let it have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect. That means seated, situated, positioned. To what? Receive. Watch the next. And complete what? Lacking what? Nothing. Lacking nothing. So that place of perfect is a place of position. If any of you lacks wisdom, so he's saying, now what's wisdom do? Tells you what? What to do. So wisdom is going to tell you, it's going to help you make choices. The wisdom from above is going to cooperate with choices that please the Father. The wisdom from beneath, which is the carnal wisdom, is going to make choices that displease the Father. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith. In other words, faith here is trust that he's going to answer you. He's going to give it to you. With no what? Doubting. Do not doubt. Doubt nullifies faith. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, by voices. How many of y'all know voices make wind? It's breath. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's double-minded. Carnal spirit. Carnal spirit. And also what? Unstable in all of his ways. So faith is an area where trust. So he says, look, we're producing patience, which is endurance, that works to perfect us. It's working for perfection so that we can be complete, so we don't lack anything, which is the fullness of wisdom is what we need. That and the area of fullness of wisdom, in other words, you lack nothing, is because your decision-making is aligning with God's decision-making. Without falling into the trap of double-mindedness and becoming unstable. Now, we all have double-mindedness. We have a carnal mind and a mind of the spirit. Amen? And they battle for first place all the time. But it depends which one you feed and which one you starve. We all have two minds, a mind of Christ and a mind of the carnal mind, that fight for first place or position. That's why the word just told us that we must be perfect or positioned, spiritually positioned to what? Receive. Receive by faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The teaching is called double-minded. There's many who are double-minded. That means they're working out of both minds instead of dismantling one. Like the mind, carnal mind. We don't want to dismantle the mind of the spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. When you become double-minded, you become unstable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. In other words, difficult times are going to come. There are many difficult things happening. Even in the good times, difficult things are happening. It doesn't matter. You could win the lottery and still difficult things are going to come. Money doesn't buy your way out of anything. Maybe a police officer, but other than that, I don't know. Maybe something to that degree, but it doesn't buy happiness. In fact, most people who have a lot of money are still trying to save it. They're trying to protect it. They're trying to keep it from being lost. But you're really walking in the Spirit of God, money is nothing to you. Everything to you is God's presence and obeying. Hello. For men will be what? Lovers of themselves. If they're lovers of themselves, are they double-minded? Yes. Lovers of money. Is that double-minded? Yes. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. Think about that, unthankful. You know why? Because when you become double-minded, you lose the thankfulness and the gratitude of what God has done for you already, and you're looking at what he hasn't done yet. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For these are those who creep into households, ministries, business, and make captives of gullible men and women, and load them down with sins, led away by various lusts. They're always learning. Oh, they got knowledge, but they're not able to get cut free. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, why the truth makes you free. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of what? Corrupt mind. A corrupt mind is double-minded and unstable. Disapprove concerning the faith. Why? Because they twist everything God tries to show them or tell them. They even twist the words of God. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all as there also was. Again, last days, double-minded souls, sharing their souls with unclean spirits, allowing emotional desires to dictate what they hear and what they choose. They're always learning, but unable to be free or put to practice the things they've learned. I'm going to say it again. In the last days, they'll become double-minded souls, sharing their souls with unclean spirits, allowing emotional desires to dictate what they hear. Dictate what they what? Hear. And what they choose, always learning but unable to be free because they're not able to put things into practice of what they've learned. Double-minded. That's one of the things the enemy tries to do. Now, double-minded is going to cause an area. It usually starts by an area, of course, is pride and then confusion. Pride and confusion. Pride and confusion. Why? Because pride is an open door for the demonic forces to entangle us. Pride resists submission. It resists it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, which is going to be a place where you lack nothing. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which means the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be what? children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or every voice of the stranger. By the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. No longer tossed by the voice of confusion or emotional desires which make wrong decisions. Why? Because voice of confusion is associated with double-mindedness and instability. 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, we all have a place of double-mindedness, but we're not supposed to allow that to happen. There's that battle between both minds all the time. Every decision you make. Did you ever do something and said, you know I should have done something different. I knew I should have done that. Who told you that? Spirit of the mind of Christ. I should have done that. Man, I'll tell you when I got busted and got sentenced to life, on my way to the drug deal, I heard a voice say to me, don't do it. Don't do it, guy. And I turned to my partner. I said, man, we shouldn't do this. He says, we gotta. I said, what do you mean we gotta? He says, we gotta do this. We made a commitment. Because at that time was a large amount of cocaine. But I heard that voice. And if I would just listen to that voice, I wouldn't have gotten busted. But I probably got busted some other time. But I wouldn't have made history. It was the wrong history. But anyways, if I would just, how many times have you said that to yourself? Man, if I would just listened. If I would just obeyed that voice that told me whatever. But you know, when you, desires have a tendency to overthrow the voice of God. Well, this is what I desire. So we nullify the voice of God. That's called double-mindedness. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 12, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil of things they do not understand. In other words, they're double-minded. They walk in confusion and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing what? Unstable souls. Those are double-minded individuals, easily manipulated. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A man's voice restrained the madman of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow. For they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness of ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for whom a person is overcome by him is also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. It's worse than the beginning. That's why it's so important to recognize these things. You know, the beginning of victory is recognizing. Because Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, which blinds us. So that's why the Spirit is always exposing deception, because it's darkness. Light exposes darkness. And in that, the Spirit's always telling us things to come. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, why don't you wait? Don't be anxious. The problem is when a person is in a place of anxiousness, they're nullifying God's voice, God's correction, God's direction. They're using carnal wisdom instead of wisdom from above. That's called double-mindedness and unstable. Enticing unstable souls of double-mindedness. Did you ever hear somebody tell you, well, you know, the devil told me this. Well, then why are you obeying it? Why are you listening to it? Well, the devil told me that. What did God tell you? See, they're focusing on what the voice of the devil is instead of the voice of God. That's double-mindedness. That puts a person in an instability state of being. We're to know the voice of the Lord. We're to know his unction. You don't have to hear his voice. And you choose what you're going to hear and what you're not going to hear. You have the power to choose. People go into a backslidden state of being. One of the first things is because they become ungrateful. Ungrateful is the number one door. They're looking at what God hasn't done instead of thanking God for what he's done already. Amen? Think of where you've been. Think of all the things you've done and that you didn't get charged for. Well, we got a book of those. I think God does too. It's probably called the Book of Remembrance. But thank God we're not going to be charged for them. Because it's under the blood. He's going to go to the next page. For me, he's got 25 pages to go through. It's not the next page. But anyways, Book of Remembrance, there's so many things. I mean, you know, we live the life of corruption. Never forget what God has done for you. How he's forgiven you. See, when people are more focused on what he hasn't done yet, or their circumstances, or their difficulties, because they're losing the sight of gratitude, and they're losing the sight of how much God loves them. God loves me unconditionally, even if I'm a moron. And when I make stupid mistakes, I think they laugh so much about what decisions I make. I don't think the Lord can sit on the throne long enough all day long when he watches me. They're roaring their butts off. Him and all of his angels. Look at him do this. They got a whole book of jokes up there, heavenly jokes about me. And about many of us. Why? Because we make so many goofy mistakes. But they're out of ignorance. They're not intentional most of the time. Amen. We make a lot of goofy mistakes, but God laughs with us. He's not there judging us, waiting for us to fall. I mean, I was brought up in a church where some of the nuns that did teaching, they acted like they lived in hell. I mean, it was crazy, man. Rulers. I mean, those were their weapons. I spent more time standing in the hallway than I did in class. I was one of the only ones that skipped catechism. They said, go to catechism. I said, see ya. I was only in second grade. I lived a life of rebellion at that time. I used to get my butt kicked too. Didn't help. Just made me harder. More rebellious. So I thought freedom was being rebellious. We were brought up in an area where to be free was to rebel. We didn't know submission to God would bring freedom. So we were trying to bring freedom in our own state of being. But we never got free. We just kept digging the pit deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole until we began to bury ourselves. But Jesus showed up and rescued us. So that's that place where we must be grateful for. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. You be grateful, not what he hasn't done, what he's done already. I mean, you can go back a couple of weeks and look at all the testimonies you have of what God has done. Some of the simplest things that we just let, it becomes a common thing to us. But we don't want to lose that area and make it common. We want to make it exciting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting me up on time. Thank the Lord for toilets that flush. Thank the Lord for hot water. Thank the Lord for a roof over your head. Thank the Lord for the vehicles. Thank the Lord for good health. See, that's an attitude of gratitude. And it brings a joy to you because a joyful heart is what? Good medicine. You know, many people get sick because they don't have a joyful heart. Why don't they have a joyful heart? Because they're not grateful. They're still focusing on their problems and not focusing on what God's love, unconditional, and not focusing on what God has done. And they're always saying, well, you don't know my circumstance. Thank God I don't want to. God knows it. He knows. He knows. He said, what's the Bible say? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, right decisions. And all things will be added. And they're coming. Oh, happy days. So we must come to a place where we choose to hear and to do. Oh, happy days. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, do what? Lay aside all stupidity, all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He's double-minded. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty or freedom and does what? Continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks that he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourself into a state of double-mindedness and instability. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? He's proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds, which means double-minded, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourselves. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be what? Content or grateful. But those who desire to be what? Rich. Fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the fear of loss. perfecting a double mind. All of these things perfect a double-mindedness. They become inconsistent to believe and trust, unable to deny selfish ambitions. And these things remove truth from them. They remove the truth. They nullify it. They compromise it. In Psalm 119, in verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of hope, my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Wow. Hate double-mindedness. We should hate it. 2 Peter 3, in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, is also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, has also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught, unstable people twist. They twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. So in other words, they're hearing something, but they're twisting it according to their emotional desire. It's called double-mindedness. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever and ever and ever. That's why, you know, we always want confirmation of things sometimes, so we don't fall in that state of double-mindedness. Things that the enemy loves to get us in a place or twist words to your desires, to the desires. But the Bible says to confirm things out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's established. So we always want confirmation of things. Amen? To confirm. Philippians chapter 4. In other words, sometimes you need confirmation of what you're thinking. Or what you're believing. Because many people use that word believing in what they're thinking. I just believed it. No, you're just thinking that. Philippians 4, please. 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness. Where there's a gentleness, there's peace. There's not anxiousness. There's not double-mindedness. There's not instability. There's peace. Because peace is associated with trust. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. No. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Your requests are not to men, it's to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It was a do. It's going to nullify double-mindedness. Be anxious for nothing. And stop trying to prove every emotional voice of confusion. In other words, we want to prove these things that we believe when they're not correct. So we want to come to that place where we're no longer trying to prove every emotional voice of confusion. That's double-mindedness. People will sit there and argue with you about stupid things. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom does what? Tells you what to do. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, that's called double-mindedness, in your hearts, do not boast against and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, what else is existing? Confusion. Is that double-minded? Yes. And every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. In other words, trust, without partiality, good fruits, full of mercy, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. Wow. Self-seeking brings confusion and every evil emotional voice fulfilling instability and double-mindedness. John chapter 10, verse 22. Now it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then a Jew surrounded him, and he said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. Jesus told them over and over. But they wouldn't believe him. Why? Because they were double-minded. They refused to hear what his words were saying, and they allowed their emotional desires to twist the words of God. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The enemy can't snatch them out, but that individual can walk out. Hello. They didn't want to hear. Romans 8:31. Let's speak it, please. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So God's praying for me and you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or sin or transgression or iniquity? Hello. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the what? Love of God. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what choices. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your sins, transgressions, or iniquities. He loves you and I. He looks past the carnality. He allows us to judge ourselves. He waits for us to repent, to be restored. You know, the law was not given to condemn. The law was given to know what pleased God. It wasn't a law to condemn. It was an area of direction. Chastisement from the Lord is correction and direction. You're going the wrong way, son or daughter. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to correct you. But many people don't like to be corrected. They think, you know, they live a life of I know it all. And we don't know nothing. And what we know is sufficient, though. Amen? We have a tendency to want to know it all, but we ain't going to know it all. And there's a lot of people that want to be a know-it-alls. And that's full of pride. And they're usually double-minded anyways. Amen? And unstable. We want to be sure in all things that Christ and his promises. He's faithful, even when we're faithless. He's there no matter what. We live and have our being in Christ. Our existence is existence in him. Without him, we don't exist. He holds it all. All the universe. He's really big. We can't even comprehend how big he is. Because he's more than God. I know this sounds strange. We look at God as creator. He's more than creator. He's a dad. He created dadhood. He created family. He created me and you in existence to have a family. He knew we'd blow it. All falling short of the glory of God. But he's faithful there all the time. Quit focusing on the bad and start focusing on the good. Thank you, Lord. Don't be a worse first thinker. That's double-mindedness. People who think worse first are always in fear that they can't do something. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Wait on the Lord and he's going to bring it to pass. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. He'll establish your steps and thoughts. See, this is where you must put the word of God in practice. It's not just memory. It must be put into practice. Amen? There's a lot of people that can memorize the whole Bible, but they're not putting it into practice. And that's why they're not free. And they keep focusing on all their problems. And they challenge God in what God has said or saying. Instead of accepting what he said. The Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Amen? But in this, we've got to trust him. Quit trusting yourself. You always get in trouble. Amen? Lean not on your own understanding. Trust him in all of your ways. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love. Love. It's not lust, this is love. God's love. Love suffers long and is kind. Not miserable, not evil. It's kind. Suffers long, puts up with a lot of stuff. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love. Accept God's love. Focus on the things that are, the Bible says, from above, not from beneath. And I'm going to close it 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Double-minded. We don't want to be double-minded. even though we have double minds. Just don't mind that mind. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Are we there? Let's speak it. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. And abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is what? Faithful, who will also do it. His promises will be complete. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for exposing all those times we fall into double-mindedness and traps of the enemy. We repent for any of those areas of double-mindedness and instability. We ask that you position us at that place which no longer we that live, but you that live, and that we are in a position to be able to receive the goodness that you have for us. We thank you that we are more than conquerors and that your love is unconditional. So we surrender to you tonight. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And we call on Jesus, who said you would answer us and do great and mighty things, far above all we could ever ask or think, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.